the Gospel of Matthew from the Greek language, because there's so many beautiful things in there in that language. Before we go to Matthew, the 17th chapter, I want to read to you again something that I quoted a million times, I guess, in my ministry. In the Galatians, the 4th chapter, Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, according to the promises in Genesis 3:15, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the weothesia, the placing of sons, the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. However, at the time that when you did not know God, you were slave to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements of things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? He tells them that you observe days and months and seasons and years. He said, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse in the Bible. Those verses are foundational verses. Now we're going to go back when Jesus was dealing with His apostles and His church. Jesus had a church for 3+ years while He was on this earth. The church means ecclesia, once called out. Now, from this church, He picked out 12 apostles. And many of these apostles would be writers of the New Testament. Now let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. And let's read these verses. Verses 1 through 9. Chi mathematis, hex paralabane, hoesus ton pateron, chi yukabon, chi iwanen ton adelphon auton, chi anaphere, eis oros, hypsilon kat idion. And after days, after six days, Jesus, He receives alongside Himself, paralambane is what it is. He takes under His arm and He leads. Jesus, the Peter. Peter, remember, Peter means stone, not rock. Not big rock, but stone. And Jacob, or James, and Iwanen, or John, the brother of him, the brother belonging to him. Now, he makes for sure we know who is going up on this mountain. There's a lot of Johns running around in the Bible, a lot of Jameses in the Bible. But it takes James and John, his brother, and he leads them up. Anaphere, he leads them up into a mountain high. And then it says, kat idion, by themselves. By themselves. He takes these disciples by themselves with Him. They're going to witness something extremely rare. Matter of fact, that won't happen one time. And they're going to witness something that we now have a record of today. Chi metamorphothe. emprosin, auton, kai, elopsin, to, prosopon, auton, hos, ho, helios, ta de hematia, autu agenito luka, hos, to, fos. And now we have a word here, kai, that little conjunction in this place. And he was literally transfigured. It comes from the word, our word metamorphosis comes from this word. It's metamorphothe. And he was just absolutely raptured like, transfigured, translated from his earthly vessel into a glorious pre-incarnate person, actually. And he was metamorphosed. You know, a fly lays eggs and they become maggots. And these maggots transform into flies. A butterfly will lay eggs and turn into a little worm, a caterpillar, and then that worm goes into a cocoon, and the cocoon is a protective sleeve for something that's going on inside of there, and this creature changes, metamorphoses, into a totally different kind of creature. The caterpillar, the worm, is no longer a worm, but a flying butterfly with beautiful colors on it. This word metamorphosis here. And he was metamorphosed down in the presence of Improsthane, down in the presence of them. And it shone. Now this word here is like a flashlight. It's like a kerosene lantern or a Aladdin lantern, something that puts out a lot of bright light. Matter of fact, a regular kerosene lamp will put out about 10 candle power. And a Aladdin lamp with a mantle in it, like a Coleman lantern. Now, this is where the Coleman lanterns originated from. That Aladdin lamp has a mantle in it. I have one out here. I think I even have two Aladdin lamps here. I got a railroad Aladdin lamp out there. Every railroad had one in its caboose at one time. An Aladdin caboose lamp. They put out 60 to 80 candle power. 60 to 80 candle power. These lights in here, we have four lights shining so you can see me. Each light is 400 watts or 400 candle power. Each one, all of these lights together, each one puts out 100 candle power. And there's 400 watts of light in here. Now this is what it means. This is where we get our word lamp from this word, lampo, lampo. And it shined, his presence shined, and the face of him as the Helios, as the sun. They used to have flash bulbs in cameras, in these old cameras that they used to have. I think I still have one of those. And they had flash bulbs, and the flash bulbs were very bright. And people's eyes would be seeing stars afterwards because it was so bright. Before that, they used a type of powder that was like black powder, and they would have a reflector, and they would light this powder and shine light on the person so the image could be captured by the camera. This word lamp, this is what it's talking about. Now, he was transfigured. He changed from one form to the other. He changed from his human body into his glorious person before them, so they could see that this was the Son of God. God, at the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us who were under the law. Condemned under the law. Up here in this country, in several places in this valley, there were movies. Over there in Lone Pine and the Alabama Hills, there were many movies made over there. Audie Murphy made a movie at the end of the valley up here. But to get the images on film, they couldn't have any shadows. And they had reflectors all around reflecting the light in every direction, so you saw no shadows. The only time you see shadows in a movie is when they want you to see a shadow. Most of the time, they're running either thousands of candle power, 5, 10, 15,000 per light. Takes great generators to run these things. So you get the lighting. Now here we are up here in the mountains. I don't know whether this was at nighttime, possibly, to show more glory, even. And he was completely transfigured and changed and metamorphosis. There was a complete metamorphosis before their eyes, as if the worm or the caterpillar went into the cocoon, and all of a sudden it came out with all its beautiful, bright colors. And that's exactly the figure of speech, the allegory, that is shown before us, how that Jesus, for a few moments, they saw the Son of God, Jehovah, in his glory, as he will be in Revelation, the 19th chapter. And he was transfigured down in the presence of them, and it shined. It shined the face of him as the sun. Look into the sun for a while. It's bright. Can you imagine these disciples that stood here and saw this happen before them? And it says, and the garments, the clothing of him, it became Luca, bright white as light. His clothes were like a lantern. A bright light. Phos. We got a word from that word phos, we get the word photos. Photography. Verse number 3 now, and we're going to go back and read this from the Amplified Bible after we get through. Now something else happens here. 17 verse 3. Kai idu ofthe Altois Moses, or Moshe in Hebrew, Kai Elias, Sila Luntes, Met Altu. And behold, it was caused to be seen by them, each one, literally each person, Moshe, Moses, and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Moses prophesied the coming of Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, at the fullness of time. Conversing, talking with, back and forth, this word silalontes, it means talking and conversing back and forth with him. The Jewish apocalypse to reveal the popular expectations that Moses and Elijah would appear, reappear actually. Both had mysterious deaths. One represented the law and the other prophecy. While Jesus represented the gospel of grace, they spoke of his decease in Luke 9:31, the cross, basically his death, burial, and resurrection, and the uppermost in the mind of Christ, which the disciples did not comprehend, that Jesus needed to comfort, reassure them that he was who he said he was, and that he, that they, these three, will realize that Moses and Elijah were servants to this Messiah, King of Israel. They were servants. They were not great men as they looked upon them, but they were servants of the Most High God, which stood before them now, transfigured before them. Now, Moses and Elijah appeared as disciples of Jesus, as they were. Apokrites deho petros epen to esu akurie kalon esten himas ode ne e theles poeso hode tres skinos si mion kai moshe mion kai elia mion. And having answered, Peter is always talking. Peter is always talking. And Peter, he said to Jesus, Kyrie, Lord, Jehovah, my Master, my God, it is good for us to be here. It is great to be here. Ah, boy, it's great to be here. And he says this, like, since you wish, I know that you're going to do this, Lord, is what he says to him. It's a first-class conditional particle, condition determined as fulfilled, this little a, the lace there. Since you wish, I shall make here three tents. I'm going to make three tents. Skenas. For you, one. And for Moses, one. And for Elijah, one. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was not very far away. And Peter may have misunderstood that, hey, we're going to be here. These guys are going to be here with us from now on. Let's get ready for the Feast of Tabernacles soon. Let's do it now. They'll be hanging around and showing everybody, showing themselves off, and everybody will believe. They just thought maybe they were going to stay up that mountain, up on top of that mountain until the Feast of Tabernacles came. But the whole type of the Feast of Tabernacles were before them, that God dwelled with them. The Feast of Tabernacles was that God provided shelter and God dwelt with Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses was there. Moses was there. Now we have Elijah, the one that shall appear before the great coming of the Lord. Now he's here. John the Baptist was Elijah, but now the person, literally, of Elijah, he is there, and they're both servants to our Most High God, Jehovah, or Jesus in the flesh, Kaihologos Sarxagenito, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, became and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, right here. Now, verse number 5. Two times the Father spoke from heaven in the ministry of Jesus. Two times. And it was for a purpose. Ete auto lelontes utel nephile fotene epeskeiason autos kai edu phone ectes nephiles lagusa hutos esten ho huius mu ho agapetos en ho udokesa acuete autu. Now the Father's words here are very sharp. And the Father's here are words to rebuke Peter. Peter gets in a lot of trouble because he talks too much. And yet him speaking, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a cloud bright. A bright cloud now. It overshadowed them. It overshadowed them. And you behold a voice, a phoné, a sound, out of the cloud saying, and he kept on saying this, this one, he is the Son of me, the beloved one. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us that were under the law, that were slaves to our sins and slaves to our religious, slaves to our superstitions. And now he gives us freedom from all of it through his Son, Jesus Christ. Of me, the one beloved, in whom I am well pleased. You hear him, Peter. You hear him. You all hear him. All three of you hear him. Listen to what he has to say. Now the word. Overshadowed here. Episkiasin. It's the same word and the same verb that was used when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And at the baptism of Jesus. And now it is here over these three disciples that the Spirit of God, the Father, overshadows them in this nephile, in this cloud. They're just immersed in it. Verse number 6. Kai akousantes hoi mathete epeson epi prosopon auto kai ephobetheson sro phodra. And having heard the one's disciples, there are three of them here now, they fell down flat upon their faces with the floor. And they feared, instantly they feared, punctiliar action, and they feared exceedingly. Svodra. You see that little adverb there, page 394 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon, that little adverb, phroda. They feared exceedingly. Verse number 7. Kai proselthein ho Jesus, kai afom menos, how to epen egerthete, kai me phobieste. And having approached, to Jesus. And he touched them. Jesus touched them now. He touched them. In his glorious appearance, he touched them. And he said, "Rise up." Like the resurrection. Rise up and not fear. Verse number 8 now. Eparontes de tus ophthalmos. Auton udene. Adon a me auton esu menon. And having lifted up their eyes, they were flat on their face, but now they look up. And they look up. And know not one who then they saw except him, Jesus only. Verse number 9 now. This is for your eyes only. This is for your eyes only. Kai katabainonton. Auton ek tu uros enetelauto. Autos hoesus legon. Medene epete to horama. Heos hu ho hu tu anthropo ek necron egerte. And having come down, or coming down them out of the mountain, he commanded these three people, Jesus, saying, not one person you may tell this vision, this horama, this spectacle, until the Son of Man, out of dead ones, he is raised. He may be raised up. They may have tried to make him their political, their what we might call their political royal Messiah king at this time, but he came to be the dying Messiah, the one that was crippled by the blow of the serpent. The one that would taste death and feel the tortures of the beatings he was about to take. Not till he'd be raised up. Kai epero teson auton. Hoi mathete legontes ti. Un hoi grametes legosen hoti ela. Elion de Elthane Proton. And they interrogated him, the disciples, saying, why therefore the scribes, they say that Elijah, it is bindingly necessary to come first. They had just seen Elijah and Moses. They had just seen the fulfillment of the law of Moses. And the prophecies that Elijah stood for. They had seen the fulfillment of this, and they didn't it hadn't registered with them yet. Verse number 11 now. Ho de apokrithes epan elas men erkete kai apokatas thete ponta. And the one, Jesus, having answered, he said, Elijah indeed, he has come for himself. And he shall restore all things. Verse number 12 now. Lego de himen. Hoti Elias e de elthane kai. Uk. Hepi noson. Auton. Alla epoeson en auto hoso ethelason Hutos, Kai, Hohios tu Anthropo, Mele, Proskane, Hippo Auton. But I say to you all that Elijah, already he has come, and not they did recognize him, but they did to him just whatever they wished to do. Also, the Son of Mankind, he is about to suffer by the hands of them. Jesus identifies John as the Elijah that should come down, even though John was in the spiritual Elijah. But John the Baptist prepared the way of the Messiah. They did not know John as Elijah, but he was Elijah. And Jesus is the Messiah King, Son of Man. One more verse. Tote sin ekon hoi mathete, hote peren ewonon tu baptiston et pan autos. And they understood that the disciples that concerning John the Baptist, he spoke to them. Now let's go back and let's read this from the Amplified Bible. 17th chapter, starting with verse 1, going to verse number 13. And 6 days after this, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother. Now he said this to identify those people. And he led them up unto a high mountain by themselves, privately. And his appearance underwent a complete change in their presence. And his face shone clear and bright like the sun, and his clothing became white as a light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, who kept talking with him. And Peter began to speak and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good and delightful that we are here. If you approve, I will... Actually, it says, since you approve. He just took this for granted. Since you approve, I shall put up three tabernacles here, three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, lo, a shining cloud composed of light overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am and always have been delighted. Listen to him, as in Isaiah 42 and verse 1 and Psalm 2 and verse 7. Listen to him, my beloved Son. This is the Son that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem you and me. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were seized with alarm and struck with fear. And Jesus came and touched them and said, get up, do not be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down out of the mountain, Jesus cautioned and commanded them, do not mention to anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? What did they just see? And he replied, Elijah does come and will get everything stored and ready. But I tell you that Elijah has come already, and they did not recognize him. But they did to him as they liked. And so also the Son of Man is going to be treated and suffer at the means of their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist as a fulfillment of Malachi 4 and verse 5. The Bible is beautiful. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the same book. There's one author, about 40 or so different writers penned it by inspiration, but it's one book. And that one book tells us one story. And that one story is that For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were under the law and under the curse. Well, God sent not his Son into the world, condemned the world, because the world's already condemned. We're already dying. We already have the sentence of death in every one of us. All of us have a sentence of death in us. But from our Father, we're double dead. Not only we're going to die, we're born to die, but that we're born to be separated from God forever unless you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Unless you recognize the gift that God has given to you. When the fullness of time have come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem you. You will have eternal life if you will look to him, if you will ask him to save you, if you will repent of your sins and become metamorphosized. We will be changed one of these days. I am looking forward to that change. I don't know about you. I don't like the old lust in this body. I don't like the feelings. I don't like the things that go through my mind, that go through my heart and my body. I don't like these things. I don't want to live in this world immersed in sin. When you've been born again, you have a brand new nature. The old sinful flesh drags you along. You have to drag it along with you. But you have a new nature. And one of these days will be changed. Changed like Jesus. Change to live with him forevermore. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to those that may be lost, to those that love you. Father, I pray that you encourage, you comfort every one of the disciples out there that listen to this message. If one is lost, Father, I pray that you will, with your Spirit, convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that they will call upon you to save you and forgive you and have mercy upon them. Father, forgive me, please, for I failed you. And touch every life out there. Every one of the students, I pray that you encourage them to serve you more, to give more, to live more for you in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.